we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldview.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, here with you on a Wednesday afternoon. A little bit unusual. Normally you get Walker on Wednesdays, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but today I'm filling in for him, so you get an overdose of me this week. Glad to be with you 4 days in a row, and we're going to hit some of those headlines, talk about some of the things that are happening out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and would love to get your comments on it as well. Phone number, if you'd like to participate, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. It occurs to me that that many of you in the listening audience have no idea who I am. Maybe the first time you've listened to the program with me hosting, or maybe you've heard a little bit here and there, but just if you want to know more, go to patriotacademy.com. That's the nonprofit organization that I run that trains young people on the Constitution, trains actually millions of people around the country on the Constitution, and equips people to run for office and basically restore a constitutional republic with biblical values. In fact, our number one course is called Biblical Citizenship in Modern America. So anyway, that's where the whole America's Constitution Coach thing came from. Somebody in the media got me labeled that and started talking about all the people we were teaching on the Constitution. And I'm not your typical law school professor that'll put you to sleep. Probably not as smart as all those guys, but I have a lot more fun diving into the fundamental principles of liberty. So I guess you could say maybe I just I bring it down to the citizens' level and talk about how these principles affect us and what we can do about them. You know, it's one thing to complain about Washington, D.C. or whatever your state capital might be, wherever you live in America. It's one thing to complain about what you see. It's another thing to do something about it. And we've got to stop just shouting from the sidelines. We've got to get on the field and get in the game, be a part of the solution. And that's the difference between, you know, just whining and actually picking up a shovel and digging or building or grabbing a hammer and, you know, being a part of the process. And we need more people, you know, swinging that hammer, putting those nails in, putting up the walls, rebuilding the foundation. In Nehemiah's day, it was literally an outer wall. You know, you had to have the sword in one hand and the trowel in the other hand. You had to be willing to defend everything that you believed in and stood for, but you also had to build. You had to do something to move forward. And that's what we do at Patriot Academy, and obviously what we do here at American Family Association. We're helping to equip people all over the nation to live out their faith. And so thank you for listening and even being willing to increase your knowledge and your education about these things. I think when you start approaching some of these constitutional issues and historical issues, a lot of times people are intimidated because they feel like, I don't know, you know, I didn't pay attention to that stuff in school. I don't know enough about it to engage or be part of the solution. Listen, I slept through all of my history and government classes. I skipped most of my law school classes. So let me just tell you, it's never too late to get hungry for knowledge. I didn't really care about this stuff until I was done with school. It was probably in the middle of law school is when I finally started caring about history and the Constitution and paying attention. And it was about that time that somebody gave me a David Barton cassette tape, and I fell in love with history. And ever since then, you know, have enjoyed studying these things and sharing these things. So I just say that just because I think some people out there maybe, you know, you think because you're not an expert on all this stuff that you can't be a part of the solution. And I just want to divulge, just forget that. Just wipe that away. That is absolutely not true. Anyone in America can participate in the process and be a part of the solution, and that includes you. Whoever's listening to me right now, you have a role to play in restoring biblical values and constitutional principles, whether it's in your own home with your family or right there in your neighborhood, in your community, maybe even in your state, and perhaps even in a national way. Most of us, it's going to be local. Most of us, that's where we can have our impact. And frankly, that's where the best impact is. And it's from the bottom up that you change the nation, not from the top down. It's not going to change just because we elect a president to ride in on a white horse and save the day. That's fleeting. It only lasts a few years. It's important. Absolutely, it's important. It has a huge impact. We've seen how much damage this Marxist president has done to America in just 2 years and a few months. So we know that it's important, but the most important thing is what's happening at the local level. I've said it for 25 years. I remember writing this in a speech once, and I used it for years and years and years. And that is that as important as it is, it's not near as important what's happening at the White House or the State House as what's happening in your house, what you're doing to be a good citizen, what you're doing to saturate your mind in God's word so that then you live it out in every single area of your life. You don't have to be a quote-unquote expert to make a difference in this country. And our coaches, by the way, that we've got these 24,000 Constitution coaches across the country hosting Constitution classes in homes and living rooms and churches and you know, all over the place. Most of them know nothing when they first start. They learn together with the people that they bring into the room. And I always tell them, you just get the people in the room, hit play. Let David Barton, Barry Loudermilk, Kirk Cameron, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, I mean, all these experts, let them do the teaching. You foster the conversation. You just get people in the room. And every single one of us can do that. So don't dismiss your own ability to have an impact in the conversation and what's going on out there. All right, first headline up today. And by the way, phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. First thing I want to talk about is the World Health Organization. I definitely will get to Trump. You know, everybody's talking about that. That's like the headline on every news site in the world. So we'll get to that. I think, honestly, I said yesterday, I think this may turn out to be a nothing burger, that this may go to the point of not even the indictment not going through and they're not actually being in an arrest. You know, we'll see. We'll see. There was apparently a witness that may or may not turn that thing around. It has to do with Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, who's been totally, disbarred and done a lot of apparently very unethical things and potentially illegal things. And apparently that's the star witness of the prosecution. So that makes no sense. But at any rate, we'll come back to that a little later in the program. I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as everybody's made it out to be. Excuse me. But it is, it is an example, a further example of the two-tier justice system, which I said yesterday. And that is what we need to be focused on. Not Trump, but on the two-tier justice system, restoring justice in the country and getting rid of this system that favors you if you're part of the right political party and prosecutes you if you're not part of the right political party. But back to the who, my buddy Matt Staver over at Liberty Counsel, phenomenal attorney, argued before the Supreme Court many times and used to be dean at I think he did start. He and Anita started the law school there at Liberty. But just a phenomenal guy. He and Anita both just brilliant lawyers and warriors. I mean, they have been on the front lines of religious liberty and so many issues. And since the beginning of COVID, he has led in a way that very few have in the country. He's been willing to take on these fights because he saw the abuse here. He saw the threat to a free society, a threat to the Constitution, and took on a lot of the lawsuits for some of our Navy SEALs and other military members, took on lawsuits for nurses and doctors and people that were kicked out for not getting the jab or discriminated against. I mean, he's been all over the place. I forget how many cases he ended up with throughout the COVID chaos, and I call it the COVID crackdowns because it was a literally a totalitarian state across this country, and Matt's just been fighting that at every level, so he's well versed on this. And he has several cases that are continuing to go through the process. He's already had a ton of victories. I mean, big settlements, actual victories from appellate courts, just a lot of victories. But he has issued a warning this morning that the World Health Organization that we talked about, I think Monday, if I remember right, this whole. It is a treaty. They're not calling it a treaty. They're calling it an accord, so that they can get around approval from the Senate. If it's a treaty, the Senate has to approve. They would never approve giving up our sovereignty and letting an international organization like the World Health Organization, which is clearly taken by the Chinese, controlled by the Chinese. Donald Trump pointed that out in 2020 when all this stuff happened, he actually said, we're not going to give them any more money. Certainly not going to let them tell us what to do. Joe Biden's done the exact opposite, wants to give them more money and wants to hand them our authority. He wants them to be able to tell us what to do when there's any kind of health scare. Let them declare the pandemic. Let them tell us what to do if there's a pandemic. Let them force things on us. It's bad, folks. It's a bad, bad deal. And so these amendments that are being discussed that would be part of this agreement at the World Health Organization, this is not new, by the way. I mean, George Bush did this, so it's not just a Democrat thing. Those that think more globally in terms of, you know, I'm a world citizen instead of a United States citizen sometimes, and the Bush family did tend to move that direction. Bush Sr., you know, George H. W. Bush was, you know, even used the terminology one world government and all of these things. So I have never supported that kind of mindset or activity. And I knew, you know, George Bush, I don't know him well and haven't seen him since we served together. I was a House member when he was governor. And so I liked him as a person, and I thought he did a phenomenal job in prosecuting the war against radical Islamic terrorism, but I definitely did not like some of the things he did, specifically this one where he also entered into an accord with the World Health Organization. That doesn't mean it's okay. Just because a Republican did it, that doesn't make it constitutional. It's still just as bad. If you listen to me at all, you know I'm an equal opportunity critic against anyone that violates the principles of liberty and violates the Constitution. And so I criticize Republicans probably more than I do Democrats, because they're supposed to be the ones defending the Constitution. They're supposed to be the conservative party and supposed to be the ones that are conserving. That's what conservative is all about. You're conserving the way of life. You're conserving the principles. You're conserving the system that is worth defending, this system that produced the greatest, most powerful, most free, most benevolent nation in the history of the world. And when we give up sovereignty, we destroy that great nation. We destroy those principles. We undermine them. And so these World Health Organization accords and the amendments that are being considered, they are bad, folks. It literally, according to Matt Staver, takes us back to Buck v. Bell. That's one of the worst decisions ever by the Supreme Court. It's the one that it was basically said that eugenics was okay. I talked about this if you listen every day, you may remember me talking about this a while back whenever we were talking about the Jacobson case. The Jacobson case is the one that allows for vaccine, not, you know, and I have to be careful with my terminology because people think when I say mandate or if I say requirement that means what Dershowitz said back when this all started, that they can drag you out of your home and plunge the needle into your arm. That is not what the Jacobson case said, and there is nothing in the Constitution that would ever allow for that. But there are certainly those that would like to do that. And the Supreme Court had some decisions after the Jacobson case out of Massachusetts, which dealt with a guy that did not want to get a vaccine there. I believe it was smallpox. I'm blanking on it right now, but I'm pretty sure it was smallpox. Didn't want to get the vaccine because of a genetic disposition to potentially have a negative reaction, which is one of the main reasons you should be able to refuse to get vaccines. And went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that you could have a requirement when there's a pandemic, but you have to have exceptions and you have to have a way for somebody to say no. And if they say no, you know, then in this case, it was a $5 fine, $145 today. That was the Jacobson case. That led to the Buck v. Bell case, which is where Oliver Wendell Holmes said three generations of imbeciles are enough. In other words, they were for forced sterilization. Forced sterilization. The Supreme Court of the United States supported this, Buck v. Bell. Now, that is what, according to Matt Staver, and I agree with him as I'm reading through this, that's what these amendments on the WHO, on the World Health Organization, accords. It's a treaty, folks, but the World Health Organization treaty, we'd be going back to that. We'd be going back to letting some government entity, and in this case an international government entity, make your health decisions and force medical procedures on you. That's what they want to do. That's what this whole World Health Organization thing is about. It's about control. They use, quote-unquote, public health. They always claim it's about public health. That's how they scare people into submission. That's what they did throughout the COVID crackdowns. But this would be even worse, because rather than having an administration at the federal level or at the state level that you can hold accountable and that you can convince to not go along with some international organization, in this case, they're handing that power over. Now, I don't believe that's constitutional. It's not, of course. The Senate should have to approve that. But even if the Senate approved it, it would still be unconstitutional and potentially struck down by the Supreme Court, and no matter what, should be fought against in one of those areas where civil disobedience would absolutely be appropriate. And let's not forget what the Founding Fathers love to say. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. So if this thing happens, this might be one of those things where we have to say, nope, not in my state, not in my community, certainly not in my family. But it's a dangerous, dangerous road. So lc.org is the website. Go to Liberty Council, support them, and get on their email list, and you'll get these updates on not only the WHO treaty, but some of the other things that Matt's working on. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
and he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has informed the Senate Armed Services Committee that the cancellation of former President Trump's border wall contracts by the Biden administration left a variety of excess materials and the total cost to store, maintain, and secure all the materials across all sites is estimated to be approximately $130,000 per day. Yep, you heard that right. The Department of Defense is spending $130,000 a day on border wall materials that are sitting in storage. Yet the American people are forced to bear the brunt of this record-high immigration invasion.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Raising Godly Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
Some kids are kinesthetic learners, meaning they learn by doing. These folks often will doodle while listening as their brain assimilates information, getting it into their muscle memory. If your girl is wired to learn in this way, take a look at her Bible. Within those pages, she may have a plethora of markings, and this is a good sign. Proverbs 7 begins with the wise instruction to store up God's commands by writing them on the tablet of our hearts. What better way to forever have God's Word in your girl's heart than by interacting with her Bible? Get your girl a journal to accompany her favorite Bible, or better yet, consider purchasing her a note-taking Bible that comes with open margin space, perfect for her natural tendency to doodle while learning.
We are all called to raise up the next generation of Christian leaders. Learn more about empowering girls through the love of God at RaisingGodlyGirls.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
We're back here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, hosting this afternoon. Thanks for staying with me on this Wednesday. And one more day with you tomorrow, and then Walker will be back on Friday. I mentioned, you know, that I would talk a little bit about the Trump thing. Let's just catch up on the headlines today. No indictment today. Apparently, they're even, if I read this right, they even dismissed the grand jury for the day. Who knows what's going to happen with this thing? My gut said from the beginning, even last weekend, as this stuff came out, you know, this is going to be a circus, as Ron DeSantis put it. I think that's accurate, you know, and that, you know, it's not going to become what everybody is thinking it's going to become. Now, whether that's because we all pushed back and everybody said this is wrong, and we pointed out the hypocrisy that you've got the Biden family flaunting their corruption and nothing like this happening to them, it may be because of that, or it just may be that it was a chess game all along. I don't know. And he very well may still be arrested and may still have an indictment to be arrested and perp walk in the whole nine yards. So, you know, who knows? But at this point, it looks like it's getting put off a little more. Last thing I saw last night before I went to bed was that they were going to issue the indictment today, and then he was going to turn himself in next week, and he was going to be arraigned in court there next week. But again, who knows? Who knows? I think it is. It's at least, as we said earlier this week, it's at least a wake up call. It emboldens those who recognize the hypocrisy here, who recognize the two-tier justice system, and makes more people want to be involved in making a difference. It should never, when you see this kind of stuff happen, it should never make you want to check out and give up. it should make you want to lean in and do more. And so I hope that is the response across the nation and that more people get engaged in this thing and say, not on my watch are we going to allow for this two-tier justice system to continue. People are truly, truly sick of it. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. You can call in with your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got. We'll take it all. We're going to go to Leona in Arkansas. What part of Arkansas are we calling the hogs from today, Leona?
Fort Smith.
All right. I've been up there a few times, spoken all around that area. Well, go ahead. What's your comment or question?
Well, this morning I listened to Jenna interview Rama Sawani running for president.
Yes.
And I was totally impressed. And I feel like Trump would be the president, and this fellow thinks along Trump's lines, and he would be an excellent vice president and take DeSantis off the table.
Well, he is Vivek's an amazing guy. I've met him. I've heard him speak live a couple of times. I've been very, very impressed with him. Remarkable life story. His whole family story is incredible, and extremely successful, and incredibly articulate. I mean, he knows what time it is. He sees the field. He's basically what I would call a man of Issachar. He understands the times and knows what to do. He's got a fantastic plan. He is very much against all of this CRT and everything else that is destroying the America that his parents came to and that his family was drawn to. And so I think his message is incredibly powerful. I agree he would be phenomenal. I think he'd be a fantastic vice president. I think he'd be a fantastic governor. I'd love to have him in any level of leadership based on what I've seen so far. And we'll see. You know, it's always a challenge for me at the presidential or vice presidential level to have someone that has never held elected office at all, has never been a public servant in that way and been forced to be held accountable. In other words, when you're in office, if you're a legislator, you've got to push the button, man. You got to vote. You got to vote on the floor. You got to choose yes or no on thousands of issues, and it forces you to take a stand. And there's a track record for whether or not you took a stand, and whether or not you just have good instincts on the issues and all of those things. And when you have someone like a Donald Trump or Vivek in this case, who's running, who's never held office, you don't know. You know what they're saying. You know what the rhetoric is, and you do the best you can with what you got where you are. But that was one of my hesitations on President Trump as well in 2016. Now, he proved to be everything he said he was going to be. I mean, he did exactly in office what he said on the campaign trail he was going to do. In fact, he did better. He did better. He moved ahead of Ronald Reagan on my list of top five presidents. That tells you something. So it's not that you can never gamble on somebody like that and vote for somebody that does not have a track record. And Vivek actually is probably probably more prepared and likely to do a better job in public office even than Trump did based on what I've seen about him. So I echo what you were saying, Leona. I think he would be phenomenal. He is incredibly impressive. I think we'll learn a lot in the next few months. You know, this campaign is just starting, and we're looking at, 6, 8, 9 months of intense campaigning prior to even the Iowa caucus. And it's, look, I've said from the beginning, I think it's Trump's to win or lose. It's up to him. If he continues to be petty within his attacks on DeSantis or anybody that's a threat, I think that's going to hurt him in the long run. I don't know that it'll keep him from getting the nomination. I think he's so far ahead and there's such a strong base for him. And at least we know what we're getting with him. And frankly, I want the bull in the China closet for another 4 years in Washington, D.C. So I want someone that's going to go in and, drain the swamp and wreak havoc against this out of control federal machine. And then after that, I would love to see Vivek or Ron DeSantis president for 8 years to rebuild the republic back to a true federalist system, which is where you have a limited federal government where it only does those things that we have said in the Constitution that they could do. And I think they are more equipped and likely to DeSantis is probably the most equipped and likely to do that part, the rebuilding part, than anybody else in the field, and Vivek may be. He may prove to be that. So I guess I'm echoing what you were saying, except for the fact that I'm not for necessarily taking DeSantis off the table. I've frankly, you know, my druthers, if I had my druthers, if I could just pick, if everybody, who wants to put me in charge? I like that idea. I get to be king, not king for a day. I get to be king maker for a day, and I get to choose where all these people. Okay, so here's how I would do it if that was the case. I would want Trump to be president for 4 more years, as I said, be the bull in the China closet. I'd want Carrie Lake to be vice president. I'd love to see her elevated in that way and on the national stage and articulating the conservative perspective as she did so well throughout her campaign for Arizona governor. And I would like to see DeSantis as governor for a few more years because I think it's just as important to have a couple of really good governors in this country to set the example and show, again, how federalism should work, what the states should be doing versus what the feds should be doing. And DeSantis has done that better than anyone by far. Like, no one's even close to what he has done and how well he has done governor in Florida. So I that would be my dream situation. And Vivek in there maybe as, you know, secretary of something, maybe secretary of state. I mean, maybe no telling, but definitely in the top part of the administration. And then perhaps, you know, after 4 years of Bush and Bush. Oh, wow. Boy, that's I can't. Surely that's not a Freudian slip. Maybe it's because I was talking about Bush earlier and the who. We don't need another Bush. That's for sure. If sorry, I was thinking about a few jokes I usually tell about Bush, but I'm not going to do that on the air. OK, anyway, so if you had Trump for 4 more years and Carrie Lake as his VP again, I'm getting to choose all of this, so this is my dream world, right? So Trump, Carrie Lake, they go 4 years. Then Carrie Lake goes back and runs for governor again in Arizona and takes Arizona back and proves how to do really well in Arizona. Maybe she even does that halfway through the first or the second administration of Trump. So in other words, she only serves as VP for 2 years, and then she goes back and runs for governor in Arizona and fixes Arizona, which is desperately needed, and she would be the one to do that. And then, you know, Trump appoints someone else as VP, maybe DeSantis at that point, or maybe Vivek, or maybe, you know, Kristi Noem or whoever. But under that dream scenario that I'm describing right now, you get, I think, probably an amazing ticket in terms of Trump and Carrie Lake. I think that would be a really good ticket running for president, or Ron DeSantis and Carrie Lake. You know, so I would take either of those scenarios. And then during all of that, you know, time, President, you know, Trump and Vice President Carrie Lake, and then Carrie Lake going and being governor of Arizona, Ron DeSantis continuing to prove how to be a really good governor, setting the example in Florida. Somehow, some way, they continue to make Greg Abbott be a good governor, and then eventually, you know, DeSantis or Carrie Lake or Vivek becomes the next Republican president and serves for 8 years and rebuilds. So there you go. It's that easy, folks. You just you know, if you're dictator for a day, you can solve everybody's problems and make it work out perfect. Ha! Maybe, maybe not. All right, Gary in Virginia has something to say about Trump and DeSantis. Go ahead, Gary. What's your comment or question today?
Well, I think this way.
Hey, Gary, try that again. I lost you.
Trump will be president, and DeSantis will be his vice president.
That's your dream mm-hmm. ticket, huh?
That's a dream. That's a dream, and then when Trump's over with, DeSantis runs for president, and then he'll be in there for 8 more years.
Yeah, you know, look, I'll take that one too. That was kind of what I was thinking, you know, months ago for sure. I don't know if they can, you know, they're starting to get it. I mean, DeSantis hasn't taken the bait yet. I mean, Trump's been childish about his attacks on DeSantis, and DeSantis has avoided weighing into that fray. I think today or yesterday he finally had a few things to say, and so that could get muddy. I hate for those guys to do that, but that's the Trump's way, you know, Trump way. I mean, he did that to Ted Cruz, and I hated every minute of it. As much as I love President Trump and what he's accomplished, that part I do not. I mean, to take that vitriol and that talent of cutting people down, which he has, and use it against the enemy, not your teammates, not the people that are on the same side as us. And I understand he sees DeSantis as the enemy in the primary. And so primaries get bloody, I know, and that's just the nature of it. And listen, you know, Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, were not pals. And there was a lot of very heated exchanges. In fact, the best one was the one where they wouldn't do the debate, and Ronald Reagan ended up paying for the debate himself. And they tried to shut off his microphone. Everybody that's older remembers this. And he said, "I paid for this microphone, Mr. Green." It wasn't me. It was some other guy named Mr. Green that was emceeing this thing. It was a great moment. It showed Reagan's strength. And anyway, Reagan ends up winning. And Reagan chose the guy that was his hardest opponent in the primary, George H.W. Bush, as his VP. And so, you know, it could happen. I mean, they could have a knockdown drag out for the next few months, could have a knockdown drag out early into 2024 as those primaries are decided, and then kiss and make up and have a very, very strong ticket. It would be an incredibly strong ticket. I threw out Carrie Lake because I just think she's the best candidate of our lifetime. I mean, she was so good in Arizona, and there's no question in my mind she won that election, and they stole it in Maricopa County. I mean, there's just no doubt they shut down the voting machines on election day when they knew the Republicans were the majority of the voters showing up, and unfortunately the courts again are failing us on providing the legal remedies for election integrity. They continue to do that, but I, you know, good call. I think that's a winnable ticket. Trump and DeSantis, if they can get over there, you know, what the ugliness that's going to happen in the next, you know, potentially for the entire next year. Ugh, I hate enduring that, but looks like that's where we're headed. You know, so if they can get over that, be buddies and run together, definitely a power pack team. But I'm king for the day. Don't forget, I'm our king maker for the day. So in my chess game, And the way I want to set the field, it's Donald Trump and Carrie Lake, while Ron DeSantis continues to be the best governor in America and the best governor maybe in the history of America. And then he rides in 4 years from now and basically walks away with the nomination and becomes president for 8 years and rebuilds our constitutional republic. And, of course, my solution is not perfect, because if Carrie Lake does become VP and she does a good job and she's very popular, like I believe she will be, then she's going to want to run for president at that point instead of governor of Arizona. And so then it would be Carrie Lake versus Ron DeSantis instead of Carrie Lake and Ron DeSantis in that next ticket. So, yes, I'm going in circles because none of it works out perfectly. All right, Andrew in Louisiana is the next caller. Phone number, by the way, forgot to give this out this segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Andrew, Louisiana, go ahead, man. What's your comment or question today?
Hey, Rick. First, I just want to say, man, you really make me love learn about history, both biblical and you know, national, and really inspired me to want to become a Constitution coach one day. I don't know when, but someday.
Man. Right now, today, it's free. Go to patriotacademy.com, get signed up as a Constitution coach. All right, go ahead, brother.
Awesome. So I just recently found out some stuff. I wanted to see what you know about. So heard about Jekyll Island, and I know it's where the Federal Reserve was starting all that. But the history going back a few centuries about, there was a group there, I think it was called the Timucan people. And when settlers, I think, came, particularly the French Huguenots, I heard, when they saw what happened there, they were terrified and went to, I think, northern Florida. But apparently they had child sacrifice and altar there, and apparently where the altar was is where the Rockefellers and Rothschilds and all them built that house on top of. And so they purposely knew that and, you know, decided to birth their Federal Reserve, stuff like that. And it makes me think of Josiah and, of course, his grandfather Manasseh and all that. And so just all this horrible stuff, but and, you know, the skeletal remains 8 feet tall, and one researcher said these look more like Middle Eastern tools than the Native American, and all this stuff. But I wanted to know what you knew about that, and just makes me this connection of finances and sacrifice, you know, like the old Canaanite type things.
Yeah, here's what I'll say about that, Andrew. I don't know about some of the more, you know, disgusting parts of that, right? The evil satanic type stuff that may or may not have happened. I haven't seen that evidence. I've heard of claims like that. I do, you know, absolutely, you know, Jekyll Island I've read about, and the Fed is definitely you know, has significant problems. 1913 was a horrible year for our Constitution, and so there's some absolute problems there. There's no question. There are power brokers out there that want to control everything, and especially control you and me, and do that by controlling our money. But some of those things I hesitate, you know, I have never put much stock in or weight in. It's kind of like the whole, all the stuff about the, you know, child sex thing and the pizza parlor in D.C. and all that. I think all of that was over, you know, made up and used to create some chaos. So a bit of a red flag. So I would, initially my gut would say to put some of those things that you just shared in that category. But again, haven't studied that one really deep. Got to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is changing hearts and lives.
It speaks directly to the power and the grace of God.
Gives me hope for people that I know that are struggling.
The whole idea of In His image has moved me.
We actually had one gentleman contact us, and he said that this film changed his mind about this issue. We had a pastor reach out to us, and he said that he'd been struggling with hatred in his heart towards people in the LGBTQ community, and this film helped him to realize he needed to have compassion and show people the love of Christ. We also had this same-sex attracted couple contact us, and they said after seeing the film, they wanted to live obedient lives for Christ no matter what, and they said, please pray for us. We know this is going to be hard. We've even had people come to faith in Jesus through In His Image.
To find out more, visit inhisimage.movie.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you ever played sports growing up, you know that some of the most challenging moments for any team is at the very beginning of the season. Conditioning. The team sprints, the back and forths, the hill climbs, push-ups over and over, getting your body into shape so that you're ready to compete. There's a glory there. Undergoing tremendous stress with an ultimate goal in mind, understanding that it is the stress itself that's preparing you for something greater. Here's how Paul put it. Our light, momentary affliction works for us more and more, an exceeding weight of glory. We all suffer. But in Christ, our suffering is paving the path for all of us to glory. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and thankful for you as an audience being here. Giving me a chance to just rant and rave every afternoon. I mean, what better job in the world is there? I get to just pontificate. I even got to you know, name the president and vice president for the next 12 years a few minutes ago. I love my job. Okay, great headline. Just noticing DirecTV has restored Newsmax. DirecTV surrenders and restores Newsmax to its platform. That's straight from Todd Starnes. And it appears, look, we all stood up. We all, canceled AT&T, canceled DirecTV, told them, this was not acceptable. And, man, I'm telling you, that's how to speak their language, folks. You talk dollars and you get their attention. So this is good. This is really good. I don't know much more in terms of the details, but I'm thrilled to see this. This is how we win, folks. You got to stand up. You got to fight back. You got to fight them right there where it matters to them, which is the pocketbook, which means you got to choose wisely where you spend your money. That's just a big part of it now. You know, you got to think twice about your vendors. You got to think twice about where you order things. You got to think twice about which bank you use. I mean, all of those things. It's unfortunate. I know it was so much easier 10 years ago to just enjoy the blessings of liberty in an incredible country where free market capitalism had created so many conveniences and all these great things. And yet, And yet, here we are. Now that we've allowed this poison of cultural Marxism to be poured into two, three generations of kids, and so now you got all these woke board members and corporations that are echoing and repeating that poison and that cultural Marxism and making decisions based on it, and that forces us to have to make more informed decisions about where to send our money. So let's make sure that we do that. Let's vote with those dollars. I still recommend getting off of DirecTV and AT&T if they did this in the first place. It tells you what they're really all about. But being able to force them to take Newsmax back is a very, very good thing. Okay, let's head out to North Carolina. We got Robin calling in from North Carolina. If you'd like to call in, it's 888-589-8840. Robin, go ahead.
Hey, Rick, I know you're the Constitution expert, and I don't doubt anything that you say, but I thought I had heard somewhere recently on another show that DeSantis and Trump couldn't be on the same ticket because they're both from the same state of Florida.
Yeah, that's true, if they stayed, both of them, from the state of Florida. But it would be very easy for – I don't know if Trump's registration is Florida or New York, but it's really easy to change it. That actually happened back in 2000 when George W. Bush was running. And it's kind of a funny story, actually. He appointed Dick Cheney to chair the committee to find him a vice president, to basically be the vetting committee to find him a vice president. And Dick Cheney, as chair of that committee to find the vice president, became the vice president. Anyway, so Dick Cheney was also registered in Texas, along with George W. Bush, who was governor of Texas at the time. And so he just simply flew back home to Wyoming, where he had been a congressman years before. He had moved to Texas because he was running I just blanked on the huge, massive corporation he was. Anyway, he moves back to flies back to Wyoming, changes his registration, and Halliburton, thank you, super producer. He changed his registration, and boom, they're legal. So now you got president and vice president running from two different states. So same thing would happen here. I think if that's the decision they made, it would be pretty quick and easy to fix. But super, super good question, Robin, and thrilled that you're even thinking about that and thinking constitutionally. That's what we, that's what we encourage. We got to start thinking about those things and caring about the process. Conservatives too often, man, we don't want to mess with the process. We face that in the legislature all the time. Our guys and gals, they don't really learn the rules, which you need to know in order to work the process and win. And so being a lover of the process and those details is desperately needed on our side. Okay, let's go with Jim in Texas. We need a Texas call here. Jim, go ahead, man.
Yeah, from where Tyler is, 17 miles to the west.
I love Tyler. Filmed my very first Constitution class video that we sold on DVDs way back in 2010 and 11 right there in Tyler. Go ahead.
Yeah, Edom, 323 people, 2,000 cows.
That's probably right. That's right.
Hey, you got me thinking. I've been saying Trump, DeSantis, or DeSantis, Trump. I don't care who's on top. And then you brought up Kerry Lake, and I said, well, why not get, in my opinion, Trump, DeSantis? If they don't win, we got a problem. And if DeSantis is not the governor of Florida, we get Kerry Lake over there, and we get her governor.
Just get her to move to Florida, huh?
Yeah, move it around. Play their game, son.
Absolutely. They've done it for sure, and she's got plenty of time to move there and be ready to run in 2 years. So, yeah, very interesting. That's another good one. I would take that route, absolutely, as long as Florida continues to set the example. I really wanted – if you're a longtime listener, you know this. I really wanted Kerry to win in Arizona so that the pressure would be on from Kerry in Arizona running it the right way and DeSantis in Florida running it the right way. It would force Abbott to close the border here in Texas and do school choice and all the things that he is pushing school choice. So that, as I mentioned, I think it was Monday, I'm thankful that he's gotten behind that, but really needed Kerry out in Arizona and DeSantis in Florida. But hey, I'll take that suggestion, man. If that's the way it ends up going, have her go become governor of Florida. We can take that as well. Okay. Let's see. How about Paul in Pennsylvania? We haven't taken a call from Pennsylvania in a while. Paul, how you doing? Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Rick, called you a couple months ago about the national anthem, and you said I was the caller of the day.
Oh, excellent. Well, let's try a twofer. Let's see if you're caller of the day again.
Okay, I can balance the budget.
All right.
In the 80s, they got the chairman of Grace Chemical Company to do an analysis of what was wrong with the government. And the conclusion is that 28 cents of every tax dollar goes down the drain. So if I'm the president, the first day I call up and say, gentlemen, when your budgets are presented this year, they'll be 7% less than last year. And next year, it'll be 7% less. And in 4 years, we got a balanced budget just by cutting out waste.
Well, it could be done. It should be done. I have heard Rand Paul and others suggest even a 1% cut each year. And in a, you know, I forget, I think it's 10 years maybe at that point, whatever that breaks out to, that we could get there. No question about it. And that's what we would do as a family, right? I mean, we would do that with our own budgets. We would do that at our church budget, our business budget. It's insane that we're not doing that at the government level. And the reason we're not is because it's not their money. It's our money. They're spending someone else's money. And so they feel no sense of responsibility, no sense of accountability to get it done. $31 trillion in debt now, let alone the unfunded mandates of over $100 trillion. And, you know, the exactly right. And that just might qualify as caller of the day again, because if we did that, it changes everything. I mean, if you got government back into its proper jurisdictions, they stop spending money, which is what would happen. If you cut 7%, you would force them to get rid of a lot of the programs that are outside their constitutional jurisdiction. Then it's a game changer. It restores the country. And a president can't do it by themselves, but they can certainly negotiate, and they can get some of it done, which is what the House Republicans are doing now. They're only one half of one branch, but yet they are using their power to negotiate and get some good things done. Okay, let's go back to, how about Tennessee? Let's go to Brian in Tennessee. Brian, you are up, buddy.
Yes, question. You know, with the, you know, there's obviously a divide between the conservatives, the constitutionalists, and, of course, the left and the wokeism and all that. There's a book that came out. I can't think of the author's name, but I saw the advertisement for it on Newsmax, and it made me question it. Maybe constitutionally this would be a viable option, because in 1861 there was bloodshed. Well, maybe, you know, this might be a viable option. I wonder if because of this book, he's proposing maybe we should divide into two nations like Judah and Israel, because we have two cultures and two groups of people that pretty much are pretty close to where they can't coexist anymore.
Yeah, Brian, listen, man, I'm telling you, this is one of the hot topics around our dinner table and around the fire at our house. We talk about it all the time because we're students of history. We know that this is the way of the world. This is the way things typically happen historically, as you mentioned, with Judah and Israel. Perfect example. And frankly, would be similar to that from the standpoint of I think less than half of the population would go the constitutional conservative route, and your major city areas would probably go the more socialist route, and with whatever that country would look like. So I don't take this off the table. I used to kind of just dismiss it when people would say this, because I don't want to see a split as a nation. I want to see us stay together as a nation for a lot of reasons. One of those is just, frankly, national security. I mean, and one of the main reasons that we came together as a nation in the first place. And I don't know that we can defend against China, an aggressive China, certainly not against a China-Russia partnership, which may be in the works, if we split as a nation. And so one of the main reasons to stay together is for our national security and being able to fight against any kind of an international threat. But you're right. The value system has been divergent. We are no longer a nation that is united under a biblical worldview and united under a concept of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and these basic ideas found in the Declaration, that we're endowed by our Creator, that our rights come from God, not government. The fact that government's job is to defend and protect those rights, not to provide for people. That was the foundation of America that was agreed upon by virtually everyone. And so while we disagree greatly on a lot of other things, we at least had a core foundational set of beliefs and value systems that we could unite upon. We've always been somewhat different. You know, the North and the South were always very different. Virginia, very different from Massachusetts. Even in the founding, they didn't always like each other. In fact, they disliked each other, just like you have some of that today based on geography. And so that's not a problem. You can still be a United States of America and have very different states. But that's federalism. So just like I was talking about at the beginning of the program, we need to restore federalism. And if you have federalism, then what happens is you're together on a federal level for very few things. You're not together on a federal level so that someone in Washington, D.C. can tell you how to run your local school district. You're not together on a federal level so that someone in Washington, D.C. can tell you what your church is allowed to do. You're certainly not, together on a federal level, united as states, so that someone in Washington, D.C. can tell you how to spend your money or take care of your children or run your business or what kind of light bulbs would be in your fixtures or how much water is going to go through your toilet or all these ridiculous things that the federal government is involved in. You certainly aren't together as a nation so that someone in Washington, D.C. can tell you as a farmer how much you can grow on your land or what you can grow on your land. And yet that's what the federal government now does. All of these things, health care, all of it, none of it authorized by the Constitution, because under a system of federalism, they would not do those things. And so you could stay together as a nation, even with divergent values, if you return to federalism. So I'm actually, I don't know which book you were talking about, but I'm working on a book called The Final Option. And it's all about how do we keep the nation together with true federalism and allow California to be goofy if they want to be goofy. Allow Texas to be Texas. Allow Mississippi to be Mississippi. Allow each state to decide for themselves how they want to live, what kind of value system they want to fight for, and then go back to being a United States only for the 17 things listed in the Constitution, which is national defense, copyrights, trade, so you have commerce and a legal system that protects your inventions and that sort of thing across state lines, a free flow of commerce, a post offices and post roads. Those are the types of things the federal government should be involved in that we're united for. But other than that, if California wants to be crazy, let them be crazy. And if people in California get sick enough of it, they can move to Texas. And if people in Texas think Texas becomes too conservative and too constitutionalist and too religious, whatever reason, they can vote with their feet and go somewhere else. That's the only way we're going to stay together as a nation. And that will only happen if we follow the constitutional mandate for the states to say to the federal government, here's your lines of jurisdiction, and you may not cross those lines. You may not go anywhere else. And that requires a convention of states. That's an Article 5 amendment process. And it's the only way to get to the final option to actually save the country. Otherwise, we're headed to civil war, or we're headed to a complete breakup with 50 different countries. I don't know where it's going to go, but we're not going to be together as a country because of exactly what the caller was talking about. So that's the only way to save it. If that doesn't happen, and that's got to happen, I think, in the next 10 years, if that doesn't happen, we will split up. We will definitely be either two different countries or 50 different countries. And that's not my preference, but I'm willing to go there too if we have to. If we can't save it, if we can't get back to federalism, then I too want a national divorce. I cannot live in a nation, live in a community, live in a state where they allow drag queen story hour at my local library, or where they allow people to carve up children and take them and abuse them based on childish ideas that the medical industrial complex is capitalizing on. I can't live with neighbors like that. I'm sorry. You want to do that crazy stuff, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And I'm going to fight for legislation that kicks you out of my state and does not allow you to do that to children here. And I bet most of you feel the same way, so your state would be part of that. So we've got to get back to federalism, otherwise we will split. And if we do split, hey, that's the way of the world. That's the way, we'll be ready for that. Because remember, he knows the plans he has for us, folks. And in Jeremiah, they were marching off of 70 years of captivity. I don't know what we're marching off to. I hope we're marching off to a United States of America and a restored constitutional republic. All I know is we do our duty and we leave the results to God. I sure appreciate you listening today. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.